Welcome to Dustin's Vinyl. Here's your host, Dustin Chaffin.
Yeah, you got at it, man.
Yeah. I gave it to them good.
That would you say to your women? I gave it to you good.
I'm sorry. Married now. There's only one.
I know. As soon as I said that, I go, he's a married man. It's so strange to me. And I'm like, what? You're married? Like you said, you had some tweet. You're like, my wife. I was like, what?
I feel like it sounds fake now if I make jokes. Yep. If it, like my wife did this, it's like, yeah, you don't even have a wife, dude.
Yeah, nobody believes that. Yeah. You like made a wife, like some sort of robot, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when there was like she's a robot.
Yeah, she has human hair, but she's a robot.
Those things just start to look pretty good. I'm just saying women better shape up. Because I've seen a few, I'm like, I don't know. It might be a nice replacement. All right, my girl doesn't watch this show, so I get to say things I could never say in real life. You had a good week. How's the band stuff going? I know you auditioned drummers. How'd that go?
Well, I auditioned some drummers, and then I came home, and I was like, maybe I should just do it myself. I got the drum set up, so that was making me want to fix my setup was that these drummers are so bad that I'm like, I'll just play the drums and the guitar and sing.
Nice. Yeah, that's how I always felt when I produced comedy shows. I was like, I'll just do the time. Like,
yeah. Why bother?
I'd have like three guys tank. I'd be like, I'll do the rest. It's fine.
Just go
home. Yeah. But I get it. So you're gonna do the Phil Collins? Is that what you're gonna do?
I'm thinking about it. I'm either gonna do the Phil Collins, like a little headset playing real drums.
I love that. I think that's fun.
Do you?
I think it's fun. Yes, I think it's fun. And I like it when the drummer's up front. Like you're gonna do that?
For sure. It would be up front if I'm playing a real drum set. But I'm also I know it looks less cool, but what do you think? If it was like this and then I had maybe a bass player and it was just two people and I was doing the drums. Yeah. It's less rock and roll, right? If it's just like, it's just like me doing this, and then maybe there's a bass player.
I don't think there's any rules anymore. You know what I mean? I don't think it matters. I think the more different, the weirder, the better. You know what I mean?
It's funny, and though, it's cool. that I've been having this kind of dilemma, and then we picked the theme for this week. With the albums, because it lined up pretty perfectly. I had like a drummer, like an existential drummer crisis.
And another thing, I'll pay you $40 a month to have that as your background every time you do comedy, every time you do your gigs.
All right, I got an official sponsor.
Just have that in the back, and then hand out cards after the show. Bottle cards.
Listen to us wherever you listen to the podcast.
Yeah. You get you some merch. I'm going to just hijack your band with my goofy show. Four people listen to when Fortnite's down. All right.
Is that how it works? Fortnite goes down?
Yeah. Jeff did so bad, even Jay, our producer, like pretends to be another person. We're like, I know it's you, Jay. Nobody's listening to the show. It's okay. We're moving strong now. We're going good. All right, let's bring in the Riff Raff because we got a time limit today because Jeff has old man problems. He's got to go check on his hernia or something. So I'm going to bring in the other crew, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Holtz to Jeffrey Paul, everybody. Yeah.
Hernia. That's what I do during the show. I check on the hernia.
Yeah. Your
hernia, too? Dustin.
You had a hernia, right?
No,
you got hit by a car. Which was?
Yeah, in April. It's funny. I think it's funny.
That's
that
not
I go,
the same thing.
No, it
kind of. Kind of is. Get him, Anthony.
You talk about singing drummers, and you went to Phil Collins.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't go to Anthony's favorite, Don Henley.
Thought about it.
You know, I don't like the Eagles, but I like that Don Henley. Boys of Summer. That's a good song.
Oh, that was that was the solo stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we were friends.
But I like that song.
I don't like his vocals on a song like Victim of Love.
I don't know. It's all the same to me.
Yeah. I do like the Eagles. I that's Anthony. Like I like a greatest hit. We've talked about it. I like the greatest hits Eagles. That's yeah. what I like. Because I don't know. And you're in California. It's hard not to appreciate a good Eagles song when you're like driving down, seeing all the palm trees and stuff. Like, it's a great soundtrack. Probably not for you, but you'd probably crash your car or I don't know. You don't drive. So you just hit your Uber on the head or something.
I would just complain the whole time.
You said an Uber driver played your music. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He was like, hey, what? Cause I was, I had my guitar, you know, he's like, where can I find your stuff online? And I told him the name of the project and he was like, you mind if I put it on? And he just started playing like a bunch of tracks from it.
Did he like it?
He liked it. Yeah. But then he played his stuff for me.
There it is.
Like we had already, he like pulled over. Like instead of me getting out, he was like, hey, you want to check out my stuff? And he's doing like, it's just him. Actually, it was a one-man band. It was another one-man band thing. He's holding a guitar. He's behind a drum kit. And he's doing like these blast beats, you know, like.
Oh, wow.
Like that kind of thing.
Maybe that's your drummer. Did you ask him if he wanted to audition?
I was going to tell him I was looking for drummers until I saw this video.
Oh, you saw the video. Okay. God. Anthony's the hard critic.
I'm tough on drums.
Yeah. All right. Well, I get it. All right. Today's theme, everybody, the Fortnite, two Fortnite people. One man bands. And so that's one person bands or one woman bands. Cause we got to make sure that we keep it neutral. But so my random pulls, I kind of want to stay with the theme. I know he works with a lot of artists. He has full bands and, right now, I think the last thing he was doing was like a Sinatra tribute thing. But Bob Dylan to me is a guy that can be very one man band. You know, he's can just have the acoustic and the harmonica and stuff. This is a great album. I think this is one of the better greatest hits albums. If you don't have this one, this is such a good one. It has all the great songs on it. Blown in the Wind, Just Like a Woman, Like a Rolling Stone. Y'all love that song. Great song.
Great song.
And another guy who's James Taylor, who I feel is also awesome. Another guy who could just get up there. He's by himself usually, and just an acoustic guitar. And this is a great album. It's just the greatest hits. I think it is. It's got all the great songs: Sweet Boy James, Country Road. You know, all the good stuff. So anyway, so that's this music where you don't need a whole bunch of stuff. You don't need a whole, you know, you just got one dude, one chick, one person. So today we're talking about that. We'll let Jeff go since he's gonna leave us. Jeff, who's your band and bring it in?
All right. My band, and if I can also comment on you guys before I go as well, because I listened to all of them and
Start with yours.
Okay. Yeah. I chose the 1977 release of ELO's Out of the Blue. Now, I know a lot of people think ELO is a band, but the thing is, it really revolves around one member, and that member is Jeff Lynne. And we had spoke about Jeff Lynne a little bit previously when we talked about the Traveling Wilburys. He's not only a musician, he's also an amazing producer. He produced George Harrison and Tom Petty, and he's just such a talented songwriter as well. But he writes and he sings, and he produces all the ELO albums. There's no ELO without Jeff Lynne. This album, it was a mega album. They sold over 10 million copies of this. At the time, the big hits were Turned to Stone, Sweet Talking Woman, Night in the City. But then there was like because of movies and commercials, this album found its second legs with people discovering the song Mr. Blue Sky, which was kind of like a companion piece to the opening of the record. The opening of the record was called Concerto for a Rainy Day. And it is such a great, powerful song. It's an instrumental. And, you know, just like, you know, when they toured on this, and I saw this tour back in the day, I was a little kid, but I went to it. They came out in a big spaceship, and as the spaceship would open, you know, this dramatic concerto for a rainy day would be playing as the spaceship is opening, and the top of the spaceship would have all the lights and the lasers, and they were really kind of like ahead of their time with as far as the stage show is concerned. And Concerto for a Rainy Day would go into Standing in the Rain, and then there'd be like a little musical interlude that would go into Mr. Blue Sky, which everyone kind of like knows. And it's, again, such a great, 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 great piece of music, you know, like three little pieces there. But ELO, Out of the Blue, it's a double record, and there were just like so much on it. And I just kind of gave you like some of the small highlights of it.
Very cool. Anthony, are you a fan of ELO? Curious.
I appreciate what they do, but I, you know, like I hadn't listened to this as an album before. But I liked it. I thought it was a little bit long.
Oh yeah. Wow.
It's cool. I mean, it's like, to me, it sounds like if Queen was doing the Beatles.
Yes, Mr. Blue Sky. This is totally a Beatles song.
Yeah.
It's such a ripoff. It made me so angry because I forgot about that song. It felt very Beatles with a Casio.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that the one where they're doing like all the sound effects? They're going like,
yes.
Like from all
running
the.
Running down the avenue.
Yeah, which is like from, what is that from? Day in the Life.
Yeah.
Just doing all that kind of stuff.
Was big in that movie Role Models.
Oh yeah, wait, was it in Role Models?
Yeah, I think it was. I feel this. Go ahead, Anthony. If you have more, I was just.
I was kind of surprised that it came out. Was it 75, 77?
It was released in 77.
Because it sounds like the 80s. So it was slightly ahead of its time. Like it sounds futuristic for the 70s to me. That's it.
Yeah. I think it stays there too. That's the only problem I have with this. It did not feel like, you know, it just felt very 70s. I felt like I was on Quaaludes or, you know, I think the drugs were better back then. So I think that's why I think John Lennon is very talented, but I think that there's a reason this band blew up and, you know, I think because of the timing. I think this is definitely a 70. I mean, this that band, you don't get more 70s than this band. I mean, this feels so 70s and all the computer game noises and all the, you know, futuristic stuff. It's fun. I mean, I thought Bowie was doing a lot of that stuff too. I mean, people were doing that stuff before them. I think it's just like the technology of keyboards and, you know, and producing and stuff got a little, you know, more advanced, I guess. But yeah, I can't do it. I think it's just kind of one of those bands. There's certain bands I can't do. I can't do ELO. I can't do Yes. I can't, you know, there's certain bands.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're so talented. There's no denying it, but it's just not for me. And it, like when it comes to keyboards and stuff, you know, I'm a purist, like Vangelis and guys like that. Well, doing stuff around that time too. So
here's the thing, Dustin, just keep in mind that sound wasn't made through computer or anything. There were cellos, there were violins. I mean, they were, you know, they're called Electric Light Orchestra for a reason, and they, you know, there was a full orchestra on stage with them.
Hmm. But they also were using
keyboards. Yeah.
Yeah, they were using
keyboard. Yeah. I mean, it was a piano player. But, you know, all that dramatic music is made by actual musicians. There wasn't any kind of computer shenanigans with this. This was, and they reproduced it live.
No computer shenanigans.
Yeah, so
that's the line of the day.
I don't like
computer shenanigans.
I don't like computer shenanigans.
Yeah, you do.
Computer shenanigans.
I mean, you like Nine Inch Nails. That's all computer shenanigans. Yeah. So what do you think, Adam? I know you like them, so I was curious. How do you feel?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the album. I hadn't listened to this album before. I mean, I'd heard the hits. I heard Mr. Blue Sky. You know, I really like Turn to Stone. I think it's one of my favorites. I thought Evil Woman was on here, but I guess that one wasn't on. But yeah, I mean, it's I thought, just like Anthony said before, it's a little bit overlong. There's a little bit of some of the songs get a little bit repetitive, but overall I enjoyed it. And I remember years ago going to a wedding where they had a ELO tribute band called EL No playing the reception.
EL No.
But yeah, I just looked up how many movies Mr. Blue Sky is in, and it's in probably, it looks like 10 movies. But besides Role Models, you have Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Paul Blart, Mall Cop, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and Megamind, and then a whole bunch of other ones that I really don't know what they are. But
yeah, I mean, and I love all these bands that were too ugly for the cover, so they had like really cool artwork, like Boston and ELO, Molly Hatchet. Yeah, you know, there was so many cool, you know, bands that were just ugly, so they didn't want to like they couldn't pull off a, you know, they didn't have a Mick Jagger, they didn't have any, you know,
couldn't do it.
Maybe Mick Jagger was such a great looking guy.
Absolutely. That's a sexy man. Are you kidding me? There's not a woman in the 60s that didn't think he was fucking sexy. Come on, dude.
Yeah, not
sexy.
Now you can hide pencils in the lines in his face.
I like that. That's hiding pencils.
Yeah. I think you could also hide like 20 private jets in his garage. You know what I mean? I think he's okay.
Oh, it's not about money, Dustin. Come on. You're better than that. You know that.
I'm not better than that. And women aren't either. They, so anyway, these guys weren't sexy, so they used cool artwork. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's awesome. I'm embracing it. You know, have you seen Boston?
Yeah,
come on, this dude.
Oh yeah.
Jeff Lynne had long, shaggy hair, and he wore glasses. You know, come on. What are you saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute. That sounds like me.
Thank you, Anthony.
Hello.
I got to work on my artwork.
Yeah, you do. We'll get you. Yeah, stop showing your face, Anthony. Things will work out. I'm kidding.
That's why I'm working on this angle. It's a far away shot.
No, I like it. Stop that. You're a beautiful man, Anthony. You're my Mick Jagger. That's right. I love it. Jeff is my Charlie Watt. Okay, so
he's dead.
Dead, exactly. That's why I said that. You know that. You know exactly why I said that.
Yeah, I know you said that. I just wanted to confirm.
All right. So I'll go next real quick, and then we'll just kind of like see if we can speed up a little bit. So after finding this particular blues artist, you know, I really believe in a thing called reincarnation. I think once in a while you start to, you know, like, you know, I just saw the Elvis movie. I know you're not a big fan, Anthony, but it was pretty cool because, you know, they kind of like tapped into this, you know, kid who was around Beale Street and who was influenced by all these black musicians. And Elvis had kind of that soul of a black musician. And after, you know, discovering this artist, Galia Bolt, she's from Belgium, you know, and she was a street performer on the streets, you know, Brussels streets. And she was like a one person and doing a bunch of stuff. And she has the soul of kind of an old Delta blues musician. And it's amazing. She's like this, you know, anybody from Belgium, you think of waffles, you don't think of blues. And so this young girl is out here just really belting out this beautiful blues. And she had, two albums before this album, you know, that came out, I think it was Mississippi Blend was one of them, and Let the Demons In was the other one. And during COVID, like all of us, couldn't perform, she couldn't get out there and stuff, and so she kind of like taught herself how to kind of become a one person band. And so she learned like how to do the drum kit, and she learned how to kind of play stuff on her own and just be without whatever. And it kind of became this experiment for herself, and then then once she could get out and perform again, people were going crazy for it. So she was all over Europe, just kind of doing this one person band stuff. And I think she's fantastic. I really love, you know, the opening song, Last Minute Packers, fun. And remember, the second song is phenomenal. It's Spiritu Papasso or whatever. The slide guitar this chick does is is as good as any blues album I own. And she's very, very talented. I think she's going to blow up. You know, she has like 5,000 Instagram followers. We messaged today. So it's like she's on her way. But at the same time, she's like us. She's just somebody talented who's just out here. And I think she's really going to blow up. She's been on the top blues Billboard charts 3 times already. And she's really coming along. I know we're trying to get through this, but I really liked a lot of her songs. I felt kind of some of the songs with, because I like it when you know it's a one-person band, because the drums on a one-person band, I love that kind of boxcar sound. And it's just very cool. I think she's very talented. There's one cover on it. It Hurts Me Too. It's an Elmore James favorite. He didn't write it, but he's known for it. And I just think it's just really cool blues. And the fact that it's coming from this young white girl from Europe is phenomenal. And so just curious what you guys thought. Anthony, how'd you feel about Gelia Bolt?
I liked it a lot. I mean, you know, the one person band thing is close to my heart.
Yes.
I liked the album, but I wish that Apple Music sometimes has videos that go along with stuff. I wish that this was also recorded as a video album.
Yeah.
Because I found myself looking for YouTube clips of her playing live because I found that to be more interesting than just listening to it.
Sure.
And so I was watching
some out there. Yeah.
I was watching, I think it was a Jam in the Van concert thing that she did. And it was cool because she's playing the drums, she's doing the guitar solo, and you can see, like, it's cool to watch her because she's still, like, you know, she's almost playing the guitar like a piano, so she's like hitting the bass notes while she's soloing, so it sounds like there's three people playing because she's doing the drums also. So that was really cool just to watch how the one person band is performed. But the music is great too. But for me, I was wanting the video aspect.
Yeah, very cool. She's a looker too. I mean, she's got it all going for her. Looks are important.
She doesn't have the same kind of artwork as ELO. That's the only thing.
Right. She needs spaceship.
It was a concept.
The concept is we're ugly.
Yeah. Bowie did it. Bowie did it 5 years before. Anyway. What do you think about?
No, I liked it too. Yeah. I'll get right to the point. Very, very bluesy. I didn't know what to expect from this. I didn't know she was from Belgium. I got to say, with all the other three albums that I listened to, I didn't know what to expect from any of them. But particularly this one, this was a late entry too, because you had switched it up. And I liked it. I liked Can't Escape. I liked Meet Me in My Dreams. It makes you happy that is young people who are playing real music. They're playing instruments, and everything doesn't have to be sampled. You know, it could be a written song on a guitar and she's singing, and that was great. But this reminded me, like, I don't know if you guys have ever spent any time on Beale Street in Memphis, but I remember back in the day, you'd be able to go to a bar in Memphis on Beale Street, and you would hear this type of music, someone playing. Sure. I think me and you had talked about this one before. I remember going with my girlfriend, who later on becomes my wife, and we saw Mason Ruffner playing in a bar, and you knew who he was. And he's a phenomenal blues guitarist. But that's how I kind of thought of this. This was like the 2000s version of blues. So really interesting pick. I enjoyed this very much.
Yeah, I think she's going to be kind of like a Gary Clark Jr., you know, bringing young people into blues and stuff. And so, it's very promising. And,
my only question, I'm sorry, but my only question, and I just want, when you just something you said, where would young people get the opportunity besides the show to hear this artist? Where would they play this?
Well, Apple Music and Spotify, she's on all that stuff.
But isn't that kind of hard to find it? Like if you don't go searching for it, is this just going to come up?
Well, I mean, you got to kind of search blues,
How did you find it?
Blues. I have like blues. Like I'm always having like a blues station. I heard on a blues station, like a kind of a, I do like, you know, I'll just be like new blues and then it'll just rotate new blues people in. And I'm always looking for new blues artists. That's kind of my thing on the side, but she just kind of came up.
She's also getting, you know, I watched her Jam in the Van concert thing. That's like a, almost like a Tiny Music, you know, it's like a series of, so she's being featured by these sort of, indie artist platforms, so she's getting a little bit of a push, it seems.
The genre it's like I'm hoping that it turns the youth towards it because it's very old school, you know, genre. So you school. Know yeah but we'll see. Adam, how'd you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy this album also. When I first heard it, it kind of reminded me of there's a I think I mentioned this before, a Canadian female kind of bluesy garage rock duo called the Pack AD, and they have like a similar kind of sound, but I mean I really like it. I mean, and this, at least with her, she has that kind of, you know, maybe Nashville or like Jeff said, Memphis sound to it, but yeah, I thought it was great. I really liked I can't even pronounce it, Esperitu, the second song on the album, Can't Escape, Meet Me My Dreams. I thought the first half is very strong, but yeah, now I got to really check out some of her live videos.
Yeah,
it's just very cool stuff. Reap What You Sow, I thought was good. I thought that was a really good one. Very sexy, like it's just really good blues. And it's kind of, she also has a little, you know, kind of Etta James thing going, like this, because you know her voice can really hit kind of that blues stuff. So it's really nice. Very cool. All right, let's go, Anthony. Do we have time for you, Jeff, to hear Anthony?
Yeah, I got 10 more minutes.
Okay. All right.
That's what his wife says all the time. All right, let's go. You got 10 more minutes.
Well, 10 minutes. All right. I'll keep it kind of brief then. I picked LCD Sound System, their album, This Is Happening. And LCD Sound System is basically James Murphy, you know, in a similar way that Nine Inch Nails is Trent Reznor. He has guest musicians on the albums and he has a live band, but he produces and plays a bunch of instruments and writes all the songs. So it's essentially just his project. And this album, so LCD Sound System's a New York act, but this was recorded in a mansion in LA in the Hollywood Hills. It used to be Rick Rubin's mansion. It's where the Red Hot Chili Peppers recorded Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I think it's a great dance rock album. There's for me, it's, you know, it's got elements of the Talking Heads and Kraftwerk, and it's a couple of songs, even, you know, kind of indie rock of kind of early 2000s. Some stuff that reminds me kind of like the Strokes on there. It's just a great indie rock dance album. I've been listening to it for a while, so I wanted to share it with you guys.
Yeah, it's very cool. When the first song, you know, Dance Yourself Clean, it was like, at first, when I first heard it, I was like, all right, this kind of sounds like Talking Heads without the budget. And then it picks up and it turns into like The Cure on steroids. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this nice, it was like, it had a lot of surprises to it. Had all the music, and Drunk Girls had a very Oingo Boingo, sound to it, which is a band I used to really be into. And and then it just kind of morphs into this rave music. And then it's kind of hard to stay on it because you kind of get lost in it. You're like, oh my God, is this album over? I mean, it just kind of, it takes you over a little bit because you feel like you're just drop Molly and you're 23, you know? I mean, it's kind of, it has a lot going on. I mean, between the two of you, I mean, my God, I need better drugs, I mean, to listen to this music. But I thought it was good, you know. I thought it was good. It had kind of a Roxy Music sound to it as well. I don't know that band, Roxy Music, whatever, but yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was you know, it's kind of like ELO, like it like took the baton and kind of went on, you know what I mean?
I can
and
that's see that.
You know what I mean? Where it's like it's a base of that. And then they kind of, you know, took it to another level of just kind of modern, kind of a modern level, if you will.
Yeah, but, I can see that.
Yeah, Yeah. What do you think, Adam?
I mean, out of the four albums we had this week, this is my favorite one. But this is an album that I've been listening to this one for years. I've seen LCD a bunch of times in concert. I got to meet James Murphy on a Coachella cruise years ago. And I mean, I always think that when you think about the New York City bands of the 2000s, you have the Strokes, Yeah Yeahs, TV on the Radio. I always think LCD Sound System is the one that embodies New York City, the probably the best of the last 20 years. And this is not, I mean, I would say either they're Entitled or Sound of Silver, my favorite LCD Sound System albums, but this one is still a tremendous one. This was actually supposed to be their final album too, before they, you know, they had that huge final show at MSG right after this album, and then they came back recently with American Dream, which is another great album. But I mean, and the other thing is James Murphy has like he has this encyclopedic knowledge of music. I mean, this is a guy that you know, he worked with Bowie on Bowie's final album. But you can see like in all his, you can see all the influences throughout his songs, throughout this album. And, I mean, it's a great, just electronic dance album. And also, the album before this, Sound of Silver, the song All My Friends is probably one of the greatest songs to see live, especially if you see it in New York City, see it in Brooklyn or see it in a venue in Manhattan. It's such an incredible experience.
Very cool. Jeff, how'd you feel about this?
This album, like the other two, if I wasn't on the show and you guys didn't bring this up, I would have never listened to this. And so I felt the same. The first song, I wasn't digging it too much. But, you know, we have to give it a good listen. And as the album progressed, I liked it more and more. And then I really think it hits its stride kind of in the middle. With All I Want, I think these songs are all in a row. All I Want, I Can Change, and You Wanted a Hit. And I like that You Wanted a Hit is a song about like, you know, I'm not going to give you a hit. You know, I kind of like the little bit of a sense of humor there. Also, I listened to this album over a 2-day period, both times while I was in the gym listening to cardio. This is a yep. fun album to listen to while you're moving. I also was on ecstasy when I was listening to this, so it did hit me a little bit differently. I thought that, you know, the second to last song I didn't like, I forgot what it was called, and then I liked the way, I think it ends pretty strong. It was also felt that the second to last song was a little out of the realm of the other songs on the album.
Well, did you? I was noticing that on streaming, I think there's two bonus tracks.
Yeah.
The original release had 9 tracks. So if what you listened to had 11 tracks, then you were listening to bonus tracks for like a re-release.
Should be the last song.
So that makes sense, because it wasn't what you're talking about. Those two songs were not originally part of the collection.
Yeah. Home was the last song, Adam.
Yep.
Yeah.
The one before Home.
Somebody's calling me.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought that one was a little off the beaten track.
But
I thought that, you know, but after like this, the first song, again, it was a little long too. That was, I think, over a 7-minute song. And, you know, I really wasn't impressed with the vocals at the beginning. So I really was. I was like, is this going to be another Anthony, you know, Bobby Beale Jr.? But it... you know, when you hang in there, you know, you do get rewarded as the album goes on. Yeah.
I was happy for this album because I had to get rid of the ELO thing that I had listened to. So I really felt like this was a cleansing of the palate.
We get it. You don't like ELO.
Very cool. All right. All right. You got 3 minutes. Adam. Come on, 3 minutes. What do you got?
All right, I'll do this really fast. So I picked a more recent band, Tame Impala Currents from 2015. It's the project of Australian Kevin Parker. And so this album is it's very psychedelic. It's he was inspired by a Fleetwood Mac song. I'm not even sure which song. You just said a Fleetwood Mac song, and also inspired by Supertramp and listening to the Bee Gees on mushrooms. And that's kind of how he came up with this album. This album's a like a more personal, kind of vulnerable album. I hadn't listened to it before the show. I'd heard some of the songs, like The Less I Know, The Better is their big song off of this. And this actually, this album kind of skyrocketed them into like headliner status. They headlined Coachella after this. You know, it's just a very psychedelic, synthy kind of album.
And you sound very psychedelic today, Adam. I want you to know your internet is awful. So
I know.
We heard half of that.
Right.
Yeah, you got to get off that Cricket program.
Right. But, right. All of a sudden, it just said the internet is unstable.
I think these guys are good. I had a great voice, or is it? You know what I mean? The thing, sometimes I'm just wondering if, does the guy really have a good voice? Like, who, but if they're singing Coachella live, I'm sure they're decent. Yeah. At one point I thought it sounded like a CD skipping. There was one song and I need to clean the CD. Yeah.
Was that Past Life?
I think so. Yeah. It just had this wah, wah, wah. And I was like, what's happening? You can't, I go to digital skip. I was like, look at my title. I was like, this digital skip. I thought it was good. It was different and weird. And, I thought you guys picked similar albums. I felt like it very similar to kind of, LCD Sound. So it kind of had a similar sound. I feel like you guys should definitely go to concerts together. You and Anthony. You and Anthony would just be the best of buddies.
Right.
Jeff, okay. How'd you feel about this one? You hated this one.
I didn't hate it. My comparisons, Adam, are a little different than yours. I really thought that, it reminded me a lot of Depeche Mode, but the Vince Clarke era, not after he leaves the band when they become a little bit of a harder band. They were much more of a poppy band, during that first album with songs like I Just Can't Get Enough. It also reminded me of Pet Shop Boys, but later on, Pet Shop Boys, like 90s version of the Pet Shop Boys. It was interesting. They were kind of like a funky psychedelic. You could see them. People eating peyote out in the desert, listening to this shit. It's would I go see them live at Coachella and headlining? I don't know about that, but if they were supporting somebody, I would definitely get into the arena a little early to check this out. I didn't think any of the albums that we listened to this week were bad. I think they were very different. I think, mine was more classic. Yours was bluesy. Adam and Anthony, do have comparisons. But they were a little bit different, but I thought they all had merit. They were all very good.
Merit. We seek merit from you, Jeff.
All right. On that note, I've had enough of this. Yep. I will see you guys next week.
Take care, Jeff. Good luck with your hernia. All right. I think this band would crush Burning Man. That's for sure. Right. I feel like that's the vibe that we got. But I thought it was good. That was fun. It was a good show. It was good. Now we're just going to look at each other for like another 10 minutes.
You guys look good.
I mean, yeah. And it's funny how these, like, Adam, you've been to like, I feel like Anthony, I don't think you have. Anthony, you haven't been to like a real rave, have you?
No, not really. That's not my thing.
Yeah. I don't think I have either. I think I've done a lot of drugs. And I've been in a lot of clubs where there was like, kind of DJs and, that vibe happening. But Adam, I feel you've done like real raves, right? Like it's like,
no, you know, I,
you know,
I went to some clubs in like the Tunnel and what was the other big one?
I
in like
the Tunnel.
Yeah. In the 90s in New York City, but I never went to an actual rave, but I went to a lot of festivals that like, you know, Bonnaroo or, you know, different ones that had those like late night raves that would go on till like six in the morning. But never like an actual all-out one.
I thought your life just consisted of like going to these events where the DJ wore a panda head. But
no, you know, actually, I hated electronic music. I hated electronic music for the longest time too. And it was actually going to one of the Coachellas where LCD Sound System was playing. It was during Sound of Silver. And one of my friends dragged me over there. He's like, you got to check them out. And I'm like, you know, they're this hipster electronic band from Brooklyn. I'm not gonna like it. And I was just blown away by them. And then I started to seek out some other electronic, you know, mostly electronic rock, synth kind of stuff. But then slowly I started, you know, getting a little bit more into electronic, actual like full on electronic albums.
Cool. Anthony, have you ever danced in a dance club? Like a club where they check you at the door and you got it like the guy with the clipboard or anything? You ever done that? I feel like
I that'd be tried hilarious. One time. I'm not, I can't.
Did I end they let up you just, in?
Yeah, I got
okay.
in.
Okay.
But then I end up just kind of like, I'm just standing there. I'm kind of just doing this. I'm like, I don't know how to move. I can play drums, but I can't dance. I get I'm very stiff. Like,
the white comes out. The whiteness comes out sometimes. it takes us over. I've seen a lot of weddings that happen. I remember one time, like I was into dance music in the late 80s and stuff, like Dead or Alive, New Order, all that stuff. You know, all that stuff was happening, all that new wave kind of dance music. I mean, I was really into Dead or Alive, you know. You guys, I've shared this before, you know, I had the eye patch and the thing. I was really into this.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I was underage, but I wanted to see them live. But it was at this place called the Start Club in Dallas. And this is the coolest club in all of Dallas. It was owned by Stevie Nicks and Grace Jones. It was like this badass club. And it was just like, you know, everybody wanted to go there. It was like this cool thing. So my mom bought three tickets, one for me and one for my girlfriend or girl. I was just trying to like, you know, make my girlfriend. And then my mom has to take us to the concert. Just to like take us inside the club and everything. And I remember we were like waiting in the thing, and it was like one of those people that was like checking the thing. So you're not dressed nice enough. You're not attractive enough. You know, one of those assholes at the door with the clipboard, basically turning people away. And meanwhile, this is Texas. So there's still some redneck energy happening. And a lot of these guys don't know that Pete Burns is basically in transitioning. You know, they just hear it on the radio. You Spin Me Right Round. So they just think that's a fun song. And so they go to the concert. And so this one guy got rejected at the door, and he's like, and he starts a fight with this lady who's like, she pulls out a gun. And like, I'm right there with my mom, and she fires the gun. Like it just shoots, it hits like the pavement, like the stairs or whatever that would go into the club, like ricochets off and like all this stuff. So basically, I almost died trying to see Dead or Alive. she was
like, what a way to go.
Yeah. And then we go in, and it's kind of one of those situations where it's like 80% of us know what this band is. But then the 20% is still kind of jockey with their collars pulled up. And then so Pete Burns comes out full G-string, you know, just like, you know, half his boobs are coming in. Like, it's like hilarious. Like the reaction to these guys going, I didn't know it looked like that. You know, anyway, that's my big Dead or Alive story. But, you know, we got to get you to a club, Anthony. We should go to a club in LA, just like all dress up. Three of us just dress up and just
we'll
try
film
to,
it.
Yeah. Right. It'd be like at the Roxbury. We go to the Roxbury. I think that's a real place.
They, yeah.
Like,
gotta do it.
What is that?
They did this thing.
The heads.
Yeah. That's it. The head thing. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching Dustin's Vinyl. Check us out on YouTube. We give you some subscribers and get the word out. We enjoy giving this to you. So thank you so much, and support live music and also support Anthony Capper. He needs as much support as he can get. He's the original one-man band. So buy his one-man band albums on Bandcamp. All right, everybody.
Yeah.
Woo, play us out, Anthony.